How could I be so blind? I didn't see that one coming. I see things very differently now. I once was blind, but now I see. In our everyday language, we regularly use metaphors about seeing, particularly when we try to describe moments of opening up, of our awareness growing, or the broadening of our horizons or our minds. And as disciples of Jesus, we are constantly being led into these moments of revelation, of new discovery, of uncovering, of opening up. It's like what was there all along, suddenly our eyes get opened to it and we see it. I once was blind, but now I see. In our gospel story, Peter has one of these moments, a moment of new discovery, as Jesus reveals yet another layer of his identity to the disciples. It's like he further opens the disciples' eyes. And by Peter's knee-jerk reaction to give a rebuke, we can tell that this new vision is profoundly unsettling. Mark, who authored this gospel, nestles this moment of Peter's growing awareness in between two stories of blind men having their sight restored. We read one of them today. A blind man, touched once by Jesus, receives only partial sight. Touched twice, he gains full clarity. I once was blind, but now I see. Now, Mark is writing out of the tradition of the prophets, and specifically, he is immersed in Isaiah's writings. And in Isaiah, we read this poetic language about the eyes of the blind being opened on that day as a sign of hope in the midst of darkness and gloom. And so in this story, Mark is using these healing narratives as a metaphor or a way to look back on a spiritual healing, on a spiritual transformation, where the eyes of the disciples' hearts are opened and they get to see Jesus' identity differently. So we're going to do some weaving this morning together. Imagine we have three strands. We have the blind man receiving his sight gradually with two touches. That's one strand. We have another strand, which is Peter's growing awareness of Jesus. You can't braid with two pieces. So we have a third piece, and that is our spiritual phases of growth as you and I grow in wisdom. So stay with me. We're going to be braiding these three things together. If we could see the full picture of our life of faith when we first begin, it would be so overwhelming. So just like the healing of the blind man with two touches, God graciously opens the eyes of our hearts gradually. Franciscan priest and spirituality author Richard Rohr describes the spiritual phases of human growth, or how people's eyes are gradually opened through their lifetime. And he says that there are phases. And the first phase he describes as the phase where we form our identity as people. We gain independence. We accrue visible successes. It's a way of discovering who we are. We accomplish things. We have families and large houses and careers, and we are self-determined, and we gain our sense of security. But that is just one phase. And the second phase is when we work out what it all means and we grow in wisdom. When we're in that first phase, just like the blind man who was touched once, saw people and thought they looked like trees, when we're in that phase, we make demands of God to support us, to support our way of seeing. We are at the center, we are ego-driven, and God is the one who is loving and giving to us. And just like Peter at this place, Peter is in this first phase. He imagined Jesus to be this hero, this mighty warrior who was going to give them back what they wanted as Israelites, to gain their place, their promised land back. He was strong, he was gaining in strength, and he recognized Jesus to be the one who would give something to him. And so when Peter's in this first phase, like when we're in this first phase, you know, we take Jesus aside and we instruct him what we think he should do for us on our terms, ego-driven. That is the first phase of coming to God. It is like the first touch of the blind man's eyes. We see partially, but we do not see fully. But then Jesus touches the blind man again. And Jesus touches Peter again. And he reveals to Peter something of the actuality of his kingdom. He is not a Messiah who is strong and who will meet all of their needs according to their plans. Rather, the way of the kingdom is not a way of strength, but a way of weakness. Not a way of success, but a way of suffering. Not a way of making all these gains, but a way of giving things up and giving over. What a contrast to our vision in the first phase of our lives. What a contrast. It is no wonder that Peter becomes unsettled and he takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. Because when we encounter the truth of the second touch, that opening up again, when we encounter that truth, it will set us free. But first, it makes us bloody miserable. Peter was locked into his way of seeing, of wanting greatness and might. And we cannot force ourselves to see differently. It requires a spirit moment. It requires a second touch. Just like it did for the blind man. Like it did for that man who needed Jesus to put saliva on his hands and on his eyes. And saliva in the Hellenistic language and thought of that time was that it was the condensation of breath. It was the condensation of spirit. And Jesus touches for the second time this man with the spirit, and his eyes are opened, and he gets to see clearly. So like the blind man and like Peter, who needed the Spirit touch, that second touch, we also need something to come into our lives that we may see more clearly, that we don't just come to God with our demands and our requests, but the second touch shifts us. Another example of a second touch is when we encounter the Apostle Paul, who was first Saul. Do you remember Saul in the book of Acts on the road to Damascus? Very sure of himself, very mission-focused, competitive, violent, strong, self-sufficient. And on the road, he encounters the risen Christ, a blinding light, and he couldn't use his physical eyes. Notice here also the parallel between seeing and understanding. And then he needed a second touch. And God sends Ananias. And Luke writes this so beautifully in the book of Acts. Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Peter, Paul, the blind man, we need the second touch, a spirit touch that dismantles our egos. The strength that we have as we've built up our identities, as we come before God with our demands, the second touch. And the second touch for us is something that needs to happen to us. It is something out of our control. It is not our doing. Just like the Damascus experience for Paul, the second touch is something where we experience something of our weakness, where we come to the end of ourselves. And this is when we can surrender. This is when we follow Jesus in Jesus' way of giving up power, of dying for the things that we once lived for, and receiving the gift of newness, of resurrection. Are you with me still? The blind man, a first touch, a second touch. Peter, seeing partially, stuck in the way of strength, and then opening up to full sight. And you and I, encountering God out of our egos, and then needing another touch, something that is outside of our control, to open us up to another way of being, a way of surrender. For the gospel carries on. Anyone who wants to save her life must lose it. Anyone who loses his life will find it. The gospel uses denying language, denying ourselves, not to make us think of self-neglect or self-deprivation, but as a way of seeing that we no longer desire to be at the center like God, but instead we will let God be God, and we will give up the outcome, a path of surrender and trust. For me, the second touch has been understanding my white privilege in the midst of the South African apartheid system. For me, the second touch has been when I left my home and my family and said yes to a land of snow. For me, the second touch has been the sudden death of a partner. And more recently, the second touch has been the surprising change of career paths midway and letting go. I wonder what the moments have been for you, where the Spirit opened your eyes to give up control, to give up the outcome, where we were no longer able to make ourselves secure, and we were invited just beyond ourselves. Just beyond yourself. It's where you need to be. Half a step into self-forgetting and the rest restored by what you'll meet. There is a road always beckoning. When you see the two sides of it closing together at that far horizon and deep in the foundations of your own heart, at exactly the same time, that's how you know it's the way you have to go. That's how you know it's the road you have to follow. That's how you know it's just beyond yourself. It's where you need to be. Jesus touches a blind man's eyes for the second time. Jesus touches Peter a second time. And to follow the one who is our way and our life, we too are called just beyond ourselves. For I was blind, and now I see. Amen.